Welcome to Relatable. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. We have a great treat. I speak with Tal Iyer, the author of Dad Mode, 25 Ways to Connect with Your Children. Tal has a Master's of Applied Psychology from the University of Pennsylvania. We cover a lot of ground in this interview. For example, should we be friends with our kids? Are we authoritative or authoritarian? And how did his mission to help other dads come into existence? So much to get into. Enjoy this episode. So where are you from? Let's maybe start there, like in terms of where you grew up.
Yeah, so I grew up mainly in Salt Lake City. So okay. I grew up in a family of nine children.
Wow.
I'm the sixth of nine, and it was crazy at home. And as you can imagine, but my parents were also authors. They actually wrote, they've written over 60 books now, most of them on the topic of parenting. And so that's sort of how I got into this. I kind of grew up in this parenting world, and I decided I wanted to throw myself in the ring and see how I do with this Dad Mode book.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute in terms of the book and how you kind of got there, and we can dig into what it's about. In terms of your own path to writing it, in terms of your, I guess, your career to date, are you in and around kind of publishing outside of being around your parents, or is it your day job? Is it not your day job? You know, tell me a little bit about kind of a day in the life.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So my day job is I'm a consultant. I've done business development all over the world in over 20 countries, and had the chance to do a lot of leadership training as well as a consultant. So that's my main job. And then I've done this sort of on the side, written a book. It's taken me quite a few years, actually, because it was just on the side. And I always had it in the back of my mind. I wanted to write a book because I've seen the power of it by my parents. And I'll tell you, the dirty little secret of writers, and you may already know this, is people write to figure out their own stuff. Yeah. You know, so I wrote partially to try and figure out how to be in a warm, connected relationship with my daughter. And it was such a great learning experience all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think, you know, when you write something, it certainly, at least the process, I think for most people, is you have to get very clear on what it is that you want to say. And in order to get clear, you have to go through a lot of inventory and reflection, I think, to get to that clarity. And that, I think, to your point, it's like, it surfaces a lot of things, and then it helps you, I think, create almost like your vision for what it is that you want to share with people. I do think it's a great exercise in both discipline, but also to your point around probably a lot of ahas along the way. So this is your first book. Tell me the title.
It's called Dad Mode.
Dad Mode.
25 Ways to Connect with Your Children.
I love it. Okay. And then how, in terms of the path to get to this point, like why sort of this book and now, like in terms of like, how long did it take you to get here? And is it just because of that familial background and you felt like so comfortable in that space that it felt natural?
It's a great question. I mean, I was born into it, right? So my parents started writing parenting books when I was born. But basically, I guess a story that would help with that, Teresa, is when I was 14 years old, my parents had a big break with a book. They were actually asked to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. They were very surprised to get the phone call. They thought it might've been a joke, but they were serious, and they came out and filmed us at our home. And then they asked all of the kids to come out to Chicago and be on the show. And so we all flew out to Chicago. We got to stay at a really nice hotel. I remember We always stayed at little motels and kind of packed into a couple rooms there, but we had this amazing hotel and just got to be on the show. And Oprah even asked me a couple questions on the show, which was fun. And basically, right after the show aired, it was all about their book, Teaching Your Children Values. The book went straight to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And so that's always really nice to have a number one bestseller, especially in parenting. So that gave them a lot of more opportunities to go out and do seminars and book tours and everything like that. So that was a little bit of what caught my attention. And also, I was just part of it. I went and did the seminars with them. I had to speak about what it was like being one of their children. And so I wanted to be on the other end of that. And you know, the next book they would write would be about responsibility. And you know what? They were practicing what they actually talked about and or wrote about in their books. And so I saw the power of that, and I said, I want to do that as well. So I got a master's degree from University of Pennsylvania in positive psychology. And when I was there, I wrote a book prospectus for my final paper capstone project, and it was called Flourishing Families. It was a book for parents to kind of have a flourishing life as parents. But the more I worked on that book, the more I realized my voice is much better when I speak just to dads, Teresa. And so I felt more comfortable. I felt like it was me. And so I went ahead and just changed the book around and wrote it just for dads. And it's basically 25 different of my best highlights of personal experiences and also the things I've learned from positive psychology. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Dig in a little bit. Tell me about some of the key things that people will learn, or some of the special aspects of the book that you think our audience would like to hear about.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I feel like, you know, people hear about my family and they ask, what was it like to be in this family of, you know, these so-called parenting experts who've written all these books? And the first thing I say is, I remember very clearly how many times they failed. You know, I remember sitting at the table with everyone, all the kids around, my parents trying to explain a new system in the family that they were going to implement. And just looking at each of my siblings and saying it to myself, wow, not a single person is paying any attention right now. Zero attention. And I was like, why did they even try? You know, why are they even doing this? Because obviously it's not working. But what I found out and what the definition of dad mode is it's the effort. So yeah, I literally define dad mode as the art of consistent and focused effort toward building a warm emotional connection with your kids. And if you have that effort, then some of the stuff will stick. And that's pretty much the takeaway that I got. And I love my relationship with my siblings and my parents even to this day. And we do have a warm connection with each other. Sure, there's still little squabbles and fights here and there, but we all love each other. We want to be together. And I think that it was because of that real consistent effort that my parents made. So that's sort of the message of dad mode is here's some 25 ways that you can connect with your kids. Some of the ones I used in my upbringing, also in my rearing of my daughter. So
Young kids, old kids, any age kids.
yeah, it's great for any age kids. A lot of dads are coming back to me with teenagers or older, saying I'm loving this way of connecting in this way. I wrote it primarily for dads from 0 to 12 years old because that's what I have experienced. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and so but it's really great for any dads.
It's interesting. I actually just was visiting with a big family. We had a big family event, and I was talking to girls of like that are my nieces, and we were talking about how, you know, moms and dads and the differences between those relationships. And particularly if I think about like my generation, and you know, how men are like from a societal perspective in terms of the pressure to be a certain way, right? And there's, I think at times, I think we've come a long way, but I think if we think about people, you know, kind of in their 50s or maybe like 40s and up, or, you know, there's like this stereotypical, like the dad is the strong one, the dad is the one that's driving, potentially the, you know, support for the family, maybe not in all cases, or now there's like dual income. But the relationship with father, or the connection to father, or the like ability to communicate and be vulnerable, I think is a space that could use some exploration. And I think that there's, you know, pockets where there's men that have done a lot of self-reflection and exploration are kind of open to that. But I guess my question to you is, when you think about the context of being a dad now, and how to kind of create that connection and that vulnerability, because I think that is where there's maybe opportunities in terms of what previously we didn't really think about as much.
Really well said, Teresa. I couldn't agree more. And that's actually the topic I wanted to bring up right now. Way number two is self-connection. And I quote Brené Brown at the beginning. She says in the book Atlas of the Heart, she says, our connection with others can only be as deep as our connection with ourselves. And so I challenge dads to basically look at themselves, make connections, think about their childhood, think about what they liked and what they didn't like about that childhood, and then pave new trails, blaze new trails toward a connection with your kids in whatever ways you need to. So I challenge dads to look at their shadows, actually, to do this thing called shadow work, which is, it comes from Carl Jung, who's just right here in Switzerland. And he's such an interesting guy, but he says, you know, first half of life and second half of life. In the second half of life, we need to really operate differently. We need to look at our shadows. We need to figure out what happened in the first half of life, make sense of it, and then maybe blaze a new trail forward. And so I think that's a common thread throughout the entire book, Teresa, is this looking at ourselves and then also modeling a better way forward with our children.
Yeah, and I think too, there's something about like availability. So we do, I'm an HR person by trade. I've spent a lot of years, like you, leadership development, facilitating groups. Like I'm like a, if I can facilitate something, that's a good day, right? I love doing that type of work. And so my poor family now has to get the brunt of a lot of my facilitation. So often during like a Christmas break, or it's usually once in the summer and once in the winter time, we'll do like vision boards, and we'll kind of lay out, you know, what is everybody's goals for the year, and then the summer is kind of the check-in, and it's a great activity. We play some music, everybody, you know, it's like everybody's off devices, and then each person presents their board to the family. And the thing that I've noticed, I have three boys, and the thing that I've noticed is that when Paul goes, when the dad goes, he like they are on the edge of their seat, right? Because I think that it's an opportunity for them to hear from him in a very different way about his own goals, his own aspirations, the things that he's working through. And I think maybe, at least in our little unit here, like I'm a little bit more communicative about that generally, about people, I'm sort of narrate that a bit more out loud. And so what I noticed with him as their dad is that it's like this opportunity and an availability to him in a different way. It's not just in the way of I need to be your father with respect to being a role model and ensuring that you grow to be a functional, contributing young man or member of society, that there's this like kind of an emotional relationship or a like a relationship that says like he's learning, he's growing too. So I don't know. I mean, if anybody's that's listening, I definitely feel like it's such a fun thing to do with the kids, and I feel like it's communal and you get a little insight into people, and it's neutral. So it's not, you're not in like an argument, you're not trying to correct behavior, right? It's this neutral space.
Oh, that's so well said. And I have to say, we're on the same page because there's a section, there's a way of connection called intellectual humility. And I absolutely love this concept because it's basically saying, I could be wrong about this, but this is what I think. And I think that it's so important that dads say that, like you were saying about Paul, he talks about what he's really grappling with, what he's struggling through. And because of that, he's also showing that he doesn't know everything. Being a know-it-all as a dad is actually not a good way to go, or in any place, actually. But if we actually can cultivate this ability to say, you know what? I was actually wrong, and I'm happy I was wrong. Like, tell me where I'm wrong, because I want to become better. I want to continue to learn, and if I'm always trying to look like I'm right, that's not a good model for kids, I don't think. So, I like what you do with the vision boards. And just one more thing on that, the last section is creating a culture in the home that is super strong. And what I encourage dads to do, and moms, are welcome to do this as well, is identify your core values and then put together a vision statement. Just like you, this, so we have it on our right by our door. It's simple. It's two phrases: love first and create good stories. So love first is pretty self-explanatory, but if everybody could do that a little bit more in our family and in the world, I think we'd be in a lot better place. And then create good stories is, I'm just fascinated by stories, Teresa. I think every day is a story, every month, every year. And we remind our daughter often, we say, hey, the story might not be going super well right now. It may be oscillating a little bit, but the overall story is going to be a good story. And that works well for us as a vision statement.
All right, what do you think about dads and their kids being friends versus dads being dads, right? Like dad and dad role versus dad being friends. And when is it appropriate to be friends? Is it not appropriate to be friends? Like, do you have a perspective on that?
I do. Thank you for that question. So basically, there's another section in the book that's called authoritative parenting, a parenting style that saves time and effort. And I'm a big fan of this idea of authoritative. So authoritarian parenting would be an example would be because I said so. Something sharp like that, not explaining why, just being very demanding. But authoritative parenting, this is research done over in the 1960s. And this Diane Baumrind, she came up with this in their classic parenting styles. And the very best one is authoritative. And what it is it's this combination of being demanding, but also supportive at the same time. So warm, so explaining why. So if I'm telling my daughter she needs to get off of her device because she's already been watching Netflix for a while, I say, okay, how many more minutes in this episode? All right, at the end, I'm going to come in here and we're going to stop. And it needs to happen. And do not even think about trying, they're going to try and get you to go to the next episode. Don't even think about it. We're done after this because I need to be demanding. But then also, this is why. And we need to have other things in our lives. And Netflix is trying to get you to watch all night. And that's their thing. But this is our thing in our family. So what I'm my answer to your question is, I don't think I need to be a best friend to my daughter, especially in those moments. I think what my daughter needs is an authoritative parent. Both parents would be ideal, and Anita, my wife, does a great job with this as well. We both have our times where we struggle, but my answer is no, not friends. I think we can be friends, and we can be very social and very have a lot of fun together, but we're in charge of helping them and guiding them. The very best coaches and the very best parents are authoritative parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion on it.
What do you think about saying sorry and apologizing?
Relatable 2.0 is sponsored by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for workshops, coaching, speaking, and soft skills development. If you'd like to hire Teresa or a member of her team, please visit tfasoftskills.com for more information. And if you'd like to advertise with Relatable 2.0, please email us at info@tfasoftskills.com. Now back to the show.
That is wonderful. I think you have such good questions. So there's a section on repairing your connection, Teresa.
Yeah.
And I give this idea of saying sorry is super important to model that. And actually, sometimes if it's a small thing, we try and model it quickly and fast and say sorry quickly and move on. If it's a bigger thing, it may take more time. So we definitely work on the apologies quite often in our family.
It's interesting because I'm in a house full of boys and then I have my husband and I, you know, there's certain things that I think, and people might argue this, but because I'm surrounded by it, I can tell you that stereotypical things, there are some things that are pretty common.
Yes. Yes, yes. And, please.
And in my case, like we joke a lot, like there's a lot of quick to anger, I think, in the male species, maybe not in every dad,
yes,
but or
sure,
in every,
sure.
You know, but and then the thing that I've learned along the way is that anger typically comes, it's really a secondary emotion. And mm-hmm. So this thing of like, you know, there'll be an altercation like between dad and kid,
mm-hmm.
let's say not physical, but like yelling or there's something going
sure.
on.
Sure.
And then when you sort of peel back the onion, often it's fear, like something is going to happen to your kid or there hasn't been good communication or you feel like the kid's taking advantage or, you know, there's always to me like this underlying piece. So your point around like knowing yourself and being somewhat self-reflective and, you know, it takes like, I think, all of what we're talking about means you it's intentional. Like you have to be intentional about this role, just like you're intentional about your job, just like you're intentional about, you know, how you operate in other aspects of your life. And I think sometimes people have kids, you have families, and maybe people aren't always thinking about the role in that way. Like,
yes.
how do I want to be? What do I want this relationship to be like? You know, what do I want the relationship to be like with my kids? Like how, you know, because that does take effort and time.
Yes. I couldn't say it better, Teresa. I think that's one of the things I got so lucky with is my parents were focused in on this for my
yeah.
whole life. And you can see the effect that it has. I mean, we don't have perfect thing going on, but we really do appreciate being around each other. And I think it was because they made that focused effort on those relationships in the family. We don't get a manual when we have a baby. We actually, there's just, and we also default into the way that we were parented and what
right.
those things that we grew up with. And we have to consciously think about how we want to pave new trails.
Let me ask you this. It's really a follow-up to the authoritarian piece that you brought up, because I think, I don't know about where you are. You know, you're obviously in a like internationally in a different place. So I'd be curious, and your dad, and I'm a mom. So, but what I see and what I observe is there is a, fear, I don't think is the right word. Lazy seems too strong because that seems kind of judgmental and dramatic. But this aspect of holding your kids accountable to certain things, right? Like I have an expectation. I want you to follow through on that expectation. If you don't, there's a consequence. And I feel like when I was younger, that was much more prevalent. And maybe to your point, like, there wasn't a lot of why and there wasn't a lot of context. And maybe that could have been like the experience of that could have been a little better. However, the outcome of like being accountable and knowing a way to behave and a way to be, like that was just very clearly stated in my, in our family. And so I found that my, like my generation of parents, there's a lot of us that are like, it's just too much trouble. Right. Like, cause they are resist. They do resist and they do push back and they do. So what are your thoughts on, you know, how do you be in that role of authoritarian, you know, and like, how do we do that where it doesn't feel, you know, you're not being harsh, or, you know, you're not coming across too strong that you're going to alienate them. Cause I think some of us have swung the other way because it was so like heavy handed and right. So now we're all like, oh, let the kid lead. And I'm like, your kid can't lead. They don't, that they need us to lead.
Yes. Yes. It's such a delicate balance, Teresa. And I think that you're right. And my parents, I did a book launch with them a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying that they see this more than anything now, is there's so many permissive parents.
That's, you said it much better. That's what we forever. I should have just said that word.
And that's another category. So you have the authoritative, which is the one I like, is demanding and supportive. Authoritarian is not, it's demanding, but not supportive at all. So we want to make sure those two are so close together. So it's authoritative parenting that I support.
Okay.
And so this is why it comes up so often in the book, because I err toward the side of being permissive myself. And because I've learned this, I've learned how important it is you can't just put a kid out in the middle of a lake without any oar or anything like that. You actually have to guide them. You actually have to show them what's important. And I find over and over again, when I do come down a little bit more hard, a little bit more demanding, my daughter actually responds in a way that I didn't expect, but that they actually look for that guidance. And I think that's really important that parents in this age keep that in mind. My best coaches, I was a basketball player in university. Mm-hmm. My best coaches were people who pushed me extremely hard. You know, people that get far in life, they have people behind them that are actually helping them and steering them in those directions. Sometimes too hard. Yes. Sometimes it's too much, but there's this balance, and you got to read the room that you're in and figure that balance out. But I think there is that important balance there.
Do you feel like, I'm going to figure out how to ask this question, because now you are, obviously it's a different time where you're parenting your child than when your parents were parenting.
Yes.
Your parents have this history of writing a lot, a prolific, right, amount around this topic. What do you see are the differences between then and now? With respect to, like, what have we learned? Maybe that's the way to, you know, in terms of everything that your parents have sort of tackled and now you're in this space, like, what's changed and what have we learned?
Right. That's a good question. I feel like my parents did a lot with teaching children responsibility and also helping children stay away from entitlement. That was really big in the 90s. I'm sure it's still big now. It's probably even bigger now. But for me, I feel like you really hit the nail on the head when you said it's this authoritative parenting piece. And it's knowing how to reconnect, and it's being super committed to this effort in parenting. And so I feel like we really hit on the things that I think are important in this day and age, because those three things, they have to be implemented. You have to think about them on a consistent basis. And so I think, we've really been through a lot of them, but good question.
What do you think about, as a dad of girls, right? Or a dad, you know, a young girl, I have a couple of friends who are a dad of girls. And so how is that a little bit different? Like, I think in terms of, you know, relationships, like one of my best friends, they have two girls, and it's interesting to see how that's like ebbed and flowed over the years in terms of the dad's role in it, right? Because the mom and the daughters are very, very close. They're very tight. And so kind of the dad finding the place there. And then, you know, how do you, so maybe talk a little bit about that, like, given that's been your experience, how has that been for you, that kind of ebb and flow?
Yeah, I haven't ever had that question. So thank you. I feel like that is a constant battle for me. Because there is that connection with my wife and my daughter. And I often feel like number two. when it comes to for both of them, actually, because and my wife does a great job of watching out for me, but she has so much going on with being a mom that sometimes I get to that number two spot. But basically, I feel like I heard a guy on Instagram, there's a lot of good father stuff out there on Instagram recently, but he said this thing that resonated with me. He said, show up, even if you feel like you're not, nobody even cares. And I've had to do that so many times, because if you show up and you say, I'm here, if you need me, I'm here, and I see you. And that is sometimes enough, and you feel like an outsider. You really do. You feel, but you're just, but then a few, you know, if I'm away for a week for work, I come back, I have to work my way back into the whole kind of thing, because they're operating without me. And so I think that that's a really important question. And I think dads need to remember that even though it doesn't seem like they're making much of an impact, you just being there and showing up is enough sometimes.
It's so good. And honestly, I feel like it applies to both moms and dads. There's a lot of times you don't want to get on the ground and do a thing, right? Whatever it is, like imaginary play or watch your kid. Like for me, I have all these boys, right? So there's a lot of like lightsaber fighting and do I really want to be doing that? No, you know, but it's like, to your point, I think showing up and engaging, meeting them where they are. And like you said it early on, like the consistency of just doing it. It's like, you can't just show up on Christmas and Easter, you know, it's like it has to be this like habit that you're there. It's interesting. We have another, I'm giving you all our secrets, but we do this thing on birthdays, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, everyone goes around the table and says what they love about the person.
Oh, great. And
it's such a good, I love it. So if
we
you
do it too, I love that. We've done it my whole life. So
I love it. So good. And people try each year to get a little, you know, try to mix it up a little bit. But one of the things that one of my kids said to me this recent, I think it was my birthday, Mother's Day, were like super close, but so I can't remember. I think it was my birthday, but he said, I really like that you show up to games even when I tell you not to. Cause he's in a like club league and he's in other stuff. And there's a lot of games that he's like, we're going to lose. You don't have to come. But if I can make it, I show up. Whether he's said, you know, because I think sometimes he's thinking about me and that I have to go, you know, in traffic. And it was never a discussion, you know, I just showed up. If I can do it, I'll show up. And then when he said that at our, you know, at the meal, I was like, oh my gosh, the thing that I was trying to do without ever, you know, discussing it, it's like he was feeling it. And I think that's like, you know, it's pretty powerful to like kind of know that hit when that's something, because we can try a lot as parents to do things and they don't land always, or you don't really, you know, you're trying something and they don't really want it and it doesn't quite fit. But your point of like showing up, trying, being there, like that's, they'll know that you're doing that, you know, and that kind of is that connective tissue that I think carries you through.
Well said. I couldn't say it better. I totally agree. And, and I think that one other thing that I think that is important is when you can't be there, Teresa, there's this cool thing that, that I read in this book, Parenting from the Inside Out, where they say it's really important that your child feels felt. And what he means by that is feel felt is, even when my dad wasn't around, I could feel that he was aware of me. And this feeling that, you know, your parents are aware of you, just like you did with your son, like if you can't come to a game, you know that he knows that you're thinking of him. And same thing with my parents. I felt like even if they wrote me a letter, if I was away somewhere, back in the day, they would write letters to me, or now it would be an email or a text or whatever, or whatever, Marco Polo on social media. But I would just say, if they feel that you unconditionally love and care about them, I think there's you can't do enough of that. You just, that is an underlying powerful thing. Yeah, you can be upset at them, you can be upset they didn't do their homework, whatever, but the underlying feeling is, I'm always going to love you, it's all good. Like, you know, I'm not happy with this thing, but underlying, right. You know, and so I do think that's a really important thing for parents to harness and to sort of cultivate, is that ability to make sure the kids know that they're unconditionally loved.
What about, as you were talking, it kind of prompted this question about what do you think if you can't kind of get a read, right? Like if you're trying a lot of things, or you're trying to have a connection, or you're trying to build, you know, and you're, you know, especially you're kind of getting into the teenage years. So I would say, get ready.
Yeah, I'm
nervous. It might already be happening, but like, do you have any counsel or ways that you've been able to break through that? Like in terms of like, you know, there's sort of a resistance to kind of let you in or to have you be present or be part of things.
Oh yeah. Almost daily recently.
Okay.
We've got a 12-year-old going on 16 here, but I've been surprised that it's that, just that showing up piece. And then I've been also getting some, if you follow some of these parenting things on Instagram, Dr. Becky does a great job. If you know about her, she's Becky Kennedy is in New York City. And it's basically another guy of the Company of Dads. He does a great job. He told me that he just sits in the room of his daughter, and he doesn't say anything, but he's just there. And every few nights she'll be like, Hey dad, you know, did you know about this or that? But she knows that he's right there, and he doesn't try and get her to talk too much, but he just is there. And I took that advice, and I've been trying to implement it, because I'm trying to say, how was your day? What's going on? She's not saying anything. So I think more of being there and just being ready. Sometimes at late at night, they really want to start talking.
It's late at night and in the car. Those are like,
there you go.
But yes. It is so true. Like we are, you know, we have, all of us are kind of sleep on the same floor.
Yeah.
And they do, it's funny, they do kind of check in. You know, we have a rising junior in college, maybe not so much that, but the other two, I have like a rising senior and a rising sophomore, but they do come in there and they'll sort of linger, you know, and they'll just, and to your point, like, it's maybe not the kind of a formal stage for it, but like, you know, take advantage of the times you get when they are like looking for that connection.
Teresa's book, Soft Skills I Learned the Hard Way, is available for purchase on our website at tfasoftskills.com or on Amazon. She writes about her epic fails throughout her career and how she learned from them so you don't have to. This book is filled with cheat codes on how you can differentiate yourself when it matters, like in an interview, trying to get that promotion, or being a first-time leader. As always, thank you to our Relatable 2.0 community.
But I felt like I had to teach. But you know what? A lot of the time, if I'm just watching and aware and noticing what my daughter is doing, even when she doesn't have to do anything at all, you know, she'll start drawing, or she'll start inventing something, or she'll do things that I didn't ever teach her. My wife, nobody, but she just likes those things. And what I encourage dads to do is observe that and then point out what you see. So mirror back what you see and help your child to see their strengths and their interests. And that's a really powerful thing that we've done. We actually just wrote little awards on the back of her door, just on a white piece of paper, saying, hey, you know what, you're in you got the noticing award because you're really good at noticing little details on things. My daughter can watch a movie and she'll know exactly what everyone was wearing and what the building looked like and in the scene that was is amazing. And so she has this, and so we just point these things out to her and it helps her get a stronger sense of herself and what she's good at and what she wants to become maybe when she gets older.
Yes. What do you think about, this is the other question I wanted to ask you. What do you think about asking them what they need? You know, you think about it in the context of work and you think about it in the context of being a leader and you say to people, you know, what do you need from me in order to better support you in your career? What do you need for, right? So do you, what do you think about that with kids and at what juncture would you recommend or as you think about it, you know, do you ask a 5-year-old? Do you ask an 8-year-old? Do you ask a 15? You know, do you ask it at all? What do you think about that?
Well, Teresa, I've got to ask you for more context on that. Because I don't quite understand the question.
I think the question is like, you know, I think sometimes we assume what people need as their parent. So my question is, how often are we checking in with our kid to say, are you kind of getting what you need from me as your parent? Like, I know what I think I should be doing as your parent, but what do you need? And do you have, and do you check in on that to see if there's alignment?
Yes. I do check in with my daughter usually on Sundays because it's kind of a little bit of a slower day around the house. And we do kind of little mini sort of interviews. She hates that word actually, but she actually avoids it like the plague now because she's 12. But she kind of like we talked about earlier, she actually likes it. She likes it. I want to just ask you how you're doing. We can check in on a couple topics. These are some things I've noticed. What can we do? How can we improve this or that? And it's really just a little, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 minutes, sometimes 10, 15 minutes of just talking and checking in and trying to figure out how they're doing on things. So, yes, I think that's really important. And the topic of sex comes up sometimes. And we've had this discussion of since she was 7 years old. It's an open conversation if she has any questions and just really keeping it really open and just it's a beautiful thing that she can look forward to. But if you have any questions, there's a lot of things going around out there that are not correct about it. So just let's just talk it through.
I feel like it's so good because I think we forget that they're people.
Yeah.
You treat them like people, like respect. I've always, my oldest sister also had 3 boys. And that was one of the things I took from her was just like, you just treat them, you know, they may be little people, but you respect them and they respect you and the way that you interact with them. And then also, you know, so yes, you do have to be a parent. Sometimes it's not, you're not being their friend all the time, but the idea of like, hey, I do want to hear from you about like, if you were to grade me, what would I get?
Right.
And then here's your opportunity to be able to give me some feedback, right? Like what, maybe there's something I think I'm doing that's helping and it's not. And adjusting, like, cause I have 3, not each one wants the same type of energy or, you know, engagement.
Yes. So well said. Oh my gosh. I feel like it's so cool to have you, talking about your experience with 3 boys because I just had a family here visiting us with 6 kids, 2 weeks ago, and my cousin and his family, and a totally different story. And then 3 boys would be a completely different story than one daughter, you know, or one son or 2 or 3, you know, it just, every family has a different situation. So thank you for sharing the things that you're doing, you know.
What is your hope for, so let's talk a little bit more about like, what is your hope for the book? Like what, if you are kind of ideal state, like what is it that you hope that this book is going to do? And I'll stop there. And then I have a follow-up.
Yeah. I want to start a movement. I want to have a new dad paradigm, one based on connection, because dads have so many different roles in the last, you know, 100 years, but a lot of dads feel a lot of responsibility to provide for their family. and they feel a little bit disconnected from their kids. Not all, but and less and less. But I still think there's a lot of work to be done there. So I want to have a dad mode movement that where everybody is focused in on the warm connection with their kids.
Yeah, I love it. And I think there's something that you said before. I think it's worth repeating because I think it's an interesting dynamic of the role of parent and what we think that is, like what we project onto that based either on our own experience, what was modeled for us or movies or book, whatever. Yeah. And the idea of like, well, who do you want to be as it versus like, this is a role that I'm in and I'm, you know, I'm sort of the gatekeeper to yes and no. And like, you know, it's like, really, what do you want that legacy to be? And how do you want that connection with your kids to feel like for you too? Like, how do you, if you want to feel connected and you want to have a relationship, then you're going to have to do some of the things you've been talking about. You know, it's like, right. I think some of us get trapped by the role of things or what we think it should be versus like, what do you really want out
of
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so powerful, Teresa. Like these default neural pathways that we have, they're just, it's so hard to rewire our brains. And that's basically what I'm challenging dads to do. And I know how hard it is. Some days I'm not up for the task and I just default into something that I've done in the past. But the more we can trailblaze and create new neural pathways, the better, I think. So,
and is that the link to between the positive psychology and what you're talking about? Like, given that you have your expertise in that space, is that the link there? Like, you can challenge those neural pathways. You can, you know, be different than you are.
Yeah, but I think that's more just my kind of psychology nerd self coming out.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of things about the good life and meaning and figuring out what it is that your kids' strengths are. A lot of that comes from my training in positive psychology because it's really about those kind of things. But and so I throw those in throughout the book.
Yeah.
But I think that overall, that's more neuroscience, the stuff I was talking about there. And I just love that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then for you, do you have plans for another one? Or are we just going to kind of hang here for a minute? And then like, you just, you know, you're
right.
You're already thinking about that.
Yeah. I love that question. You know, I want to, what I want to tackle, and I'm going to say it right now, cause I need to get it out.
There we go.
Is relationships among parents. I think that's the next one that I want to do is, and the Gottmans have done such a great job in this area. They're the relationship experts. But I think that the one thing that I've found is you can really focus in on your connection with your children, but your connection with your partner needs to be strong as well. And I feel like sometimes that was getting less attention in the last 12 years. And I want to actually figure out how to have that. It's such a hard thing to do, but one of the ways that I say is to have a co-parenting meeting where you sit down once a week with your partner and talk through how the week's going to go ahead and how you can have better connections. So that would be the next book, is something about relationships with parents.
I love it. Like, we've had these challenges where you go, you can't talk about your kids, you can't talk about your job.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Like, literally, I challenge people that are listening to this with their, like, go try to have that conversation out at dinner. Cause then it becomes about the other person, kind of who they are, their interests, like what's, you know, when you don't, we're not talking about the what of living.
Oh, right.
So it's like, you know, take those two things off the table in terms of connection between you and your spouse. And it's like, what do we talk about?
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So there's a lot of room for work there, and I'm looking forward to it. So
before we drop, just because, you know, I'm selfishly going to make a connection between a lot of what you've talked about and my passion, which is soft skills. And so I don't want to kind of leave this.
Please.
Because I feel like once again, I'm validated in that soft skills is at the heart of what you're talking about, because it's all about relationship and connection. Yes. And so my passion is about proselytizing the importance of all soft skills, whether it's communication, collaboration, you know, influence, people being able to interview, people being able to connect. And I think like interpersonal skills effectively. And so what I've seen in my career and beyond now, kind of starting my own business, is just, this is a real area of development for people.
Yes.
And I feel like in the role of parent, and what you've talked about in the role of dad, you know, there is a lot about this that is the soft skills side of life.
Yes.
Right. And, yes. And so, like, I've heard you use the word observation, which I think is so important. And then the word like connection, and the word like this idea of like supporting them through expectation, right? These are all things that I think apply to many forms of relationships, whether it's like, you know, with your child or even at work, because a lot of what I do is career centered. But I do think that like, it's just a whole suite of skills that I feel we've spent too much time away from. Like, there's opportunities to really cultivate and strengthen them. If we spend as much time on these skills as we do our technical capability, like, we'd be unstoppable, right? I think. And I just, you know, so I appreciate, without even, you know, trying to manufacture it, I feel like there's a lot of connection there.
Thank you. And it's very apparent that you've done a lot of work in this area, because your interviewing skills are exceptional. Your questions are so good. And I just appreciate the chance to talk with you today.
Yeah, no, me too. It's so, just a pleasure. I'm glad that Dr. Cannon introduced us, and I'd love to stay connected and hear, you know, I'll link you too, but just to kind of hear how you're doing, and I'll make sure that this, you know, gets out, and hopefully we'll get you some more traction for the book. And I think what you're doing is awesome. You know, there's such a need, I think, and a good opportunity for dads to engage in a different way and have kind of those fulfilling relationships that I think everyone wants. Everybody wants to have that, you know?
Yes. Sure. The longest running longitudinal study is done by Harvard. It's called the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And it says that the biggest correlation is between the warmth of our relationships and our health and happiness. Mm-hmm. That's amazing study. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to dive into this whole topic of connection. Yeah. And I'm just appreciative of you, you know, putting it out there. And if people want to find me, I'm on talire.com. You can find my book on Amazon or anywhere where books are sold online, almost. It's pretty amazing what the publisher's been able to do. It's all over the world. And I do speaking as well. And I really enjoy my work as a consultant as well. So you can find me at Tal Iyer on Instagram, and there's some things about my book launch and stuff like that. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Tal. I loved hearing about your dad points of view. Thank you to our relatable audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay connected.